One of the best ways to say I love you to a family member this holiday season is with a gift from Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need all holiday season long when you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, that's robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA, or simply click the banners in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com.
Though Steven is not around, you still have to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor, no widows.
Yes, that's right. Survivor Know-It-Alls is back here for episode number 12 of Survivor Cambodia on December 2nd, 2015. I'm Rob Cesternino, and here's Josh Wigler. Josh, I'm so happy. I could kiss you on the mouth right now.
Oh, I love you so much.
Yes. Happy. So happy to see you. Happier to see you than even that I was to see Farm Guy 69.
Oh, well, that's just ridiculous. How could you possibly be happier than anything? Just seeing Farm Guy 69 on Survivor again was really the probably the high point of Second Chance so far, wouldn't you say?
Best night in the history of the new Coyopa tribe tonight.
Yeah.
Big night for Keith, for Kelly, for Dale. Huge night for new Coyopa.
You know, look, I know that Abby was trying to spell redemption during the reward challenge, but really this whole season has been spelling redemption for San Juan del Sur, and tonight was just a feather in the cap. I love it. Big fan.
Yeah.
Always loved San Juan del Sur, and I love that Cambodia has given it its due.
Three out of the final seven. And Val was there tonight, too. So
Val was there?
Part of Coyopa as well. So
think about how many idols she could have brought into the game tonight if Jeremy had won that reward. The game would be crazy right now.
Yeah, three out of the final seven now from San Juan del Sur. We've got a lot to talk about here tonight on Survivor Know-It-Alls, of course. We are live on robhasawebsite.com. We're going to be following the chat. We're going to be taking your tweets, hashtag RHAP. And then, of course, on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Of course, Joe voted out of the tribe. Almost looked to be out of the game due to a medical evacuation, but he bounced back only to be voted out.
Yeah. That was scary. I mean, that was really intense. And it was intense because you knew that something was going to happen. If you had seen the previews, you knew that there was some sort of medical situation that was going to go on at the immunity challenge. And it gets to a point where it can only be Keith or Joe. And you're like, I don't want this to happen to either of them.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Keith.
Not that there was anyone I wanted it to happen to, but like, it was just very tense.
So there you go. So a lot to talk about here tonight. Of course, exit interviews with Joe tomorrow. Looking forward to a second exit interview with Joe in the last 6 or 7 months or so.
Yes.
I'll talk to him on the podcast. Of course, Josh Wigler will have his exit interview as well with Joe on parade.com.
That's right. Yeah, I'll be back in the game. I'm behind on my Steven and Sierra interviews. Those will come up at some point in the future, but I'll be on time with Joe this week.
Okay. And then we've got a big Thursday coming up on the podcast because a man who has been compared to Joe on a number of occasions, Malcolm Freeburg, your original Mr. Survivor, he's going to be joining us for the podcast. He's going to be coming here on Thursday. So that's very exciting to see Malc and hear what he has to think about this season. And
in the studio.
Hear what he has to say about the current Mr. Survivor and then also Abby Maria, who he's played with, and everything else from this season. So we'll talk to Malc, and then we'll get the voicemails with Ali Lasher, who is the co-host of our MTV Challenge Bloodlines wrap up, who's a big Survivor super fan as well.
That's
so
awesome.
We're going to talk with Ali as well tomorrow on the voicemail part of the show. All right.
That's a stacked show. That's going to be a great podcast. Malcolm's great this week because also he is very, you know, his family visit was incredible with his brother Miles charging in. He knows Abby's mom. You can get the dirt. That'll be good.
Yeah. So lots of good stuff coming up on Thursday on the podcast. So Josh, let's talk about this. So Joe is the target tonight, but at the same time, there is sort of this threat of the Women's Alliance looming. So Was this the right move for let's start with Jeremy and Spencer.
Right, because Tasha comes to them with this information that Wentworth and Kimmy and Abby are really interested in getting the girls together. If we boot out Joe tonight, we're going to pick you guys off. But don't worry, I'm cool. I'm with you. I'm still with you. You know, they had established this final three deal earlier in the episode. Yeah, so that Jeremy and Spencer are faced with a tough call. It's either, you know, are we, you know, blinking in the eye of this possible women's alliance that's coming together? And I know that, you know, the esteemed Sarah Freeman is going to hate this episode because of things like that, but it's on the show. We got to talk it through. Are we going to blink in the face of that? Or are we going to allow Joey Amazing one more pass? Do we give him another free pass here after he's lost immunity twice in a row? It's a tough call. It's a real Rafe's choice tonight. It's, you know, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, potentially.
Well, I kind of want to back things up and go back to last week's vote where Spencer ultimately decided to vote against Steven. Because just like with the Kelly Wigglesworth vote, where it was like, boy, I don't know if that made as much sense in hindsight, I really am struggling a little bit more with the Steven vote off, because I kind of looked at it that Spencer was at Final Nine, saw himself as a swing vote, and felt like, okay, I think I have a better chance to move forward with the Kelly, Abby, Joe, and Keith group of five.
Right.
I can move on with that group and take that down. And I felt like it was kind of like where I was at the final seven in Survivor of the Amazon, where I'm with these people, but I feel like I'm at the bottom. Let me go with these people because I feel like that's not as cohesive on that side. But I was very surprised to see Spencer swing back to Tasha and Jeremy this week and go back and work with them instead of working with the people he voted with to vote out Steven last week. Did that surprise you, especially where it's the final eight now and you could have a 4-4 tie?
Right. It surprised me a little bit. I mean, unless the motive was to, you know, replace Steven's spot in the alliance and be that guy with Jeremy and Tasha. Tasha, somebody that he trusts from his previous season. Jeremy, he trusts from his earlier tribe, unless he just wanted to get, you know, cut Steven out of the deal, you know, basically be able to say, I'm the person who betrayed Steven Fishback and I got this big threat voted out of the game and that's my move and come back into this alliance. I can see that. So I'm not stunned by it. I guess I did expect him to work with Wentworth a little bit more because those two seemed like they were building something. But I'm not blown away by the fact that he went back to Jeremy and Tasha.
It just didn't seem to make as much sense for me as where the numbers were, because he went back to a minority, which was going to potentially force a tie there.
Right.
And so then there started to be these whispers of the Women's Alliance, which would not have happened. Or I guess it could have equally have happened if Steven was there. But you would think that it would be less likely to happen that the Women's Alliance would take shape. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think that the thing that's interesting about Spencer's move last week and now going into this week is he is the guy who offers up this little soundbite. This is not verbatim, but he says on the episode tonight, like, you're crazy. If you give Joe an inch, he's going to take miles. Not Malcolm's brother.
Right.
He's going to, you know, he's really going to run with this thing potentially. So you got to take him out when you have the shot. But you had the shot last week, Bro Chacho, and you didn't take it. And so, you know, I thought that was interesting that he's bringing that up now, but I guess he felt like he had his shot to take out Steven and get some big game there. But you're right. I think that he was, you know, he left last week's episode in sort of this big swing position where he, you know, he kind of had his pick of alliances. Potentially, we saw that he was able to rebuild relationships with Jeremy and Tasha tonight. So that was something he was able to do. And you'd think that he would have been able to keep things together with Kelly and Abby coming out of that as well. But you know, he went the way that he went,
because now I think that Spencer and Jeremy are in a pretty precarious position heading into this final seven, because we know final seven, that's one of the all time biggest swing spots on Survivor. And you have Jeremy and Spencer who are together, and sure, Spencer replaces Steven's spot with Jeremy as his right hand guy, and Tasha is presumably with them. But now Kimmy is the one who's pushing for this all women's alliance. And I don't think anybody could have been counting on that.
No. Yeah.
And Tasha is the one who's going to be in this fulcrum vote. It's really going to be up to her to decide which way she wants to go. And I kind of feel like for Tasha, I think it makes a lot of sense to go with this Women's Alliance.
It makes a lot of sense to go with the Women's Alliance. I think that, you know, if she's, I don't know. It's tough to say where Tasha should go. Cause everyone can beat Abby. This was the big argument tonight. I thought that that was a great argument to have, that everyone can beat Abby. So maybe let's cut her out of the deal so that temptation is no longer on the table. But what chance does she have against someone like Wentworth? She's probably good if she's going up against Kimmy. You know, I don't know. Like if it's Wentworth, Tasha, Abby in the end, or if it's Tasha, Kimmy, Abby in the end, is that her best configuration? I think that Tasha has a lot to chew on in these next 3 days. I think that she has a lot of possible options, and Tasha is in the most dynamic position in the game right now by far. And I've started kind of ruling Tasha out just because it had been a kind of quiet stretch of episodes for her. And right now she's in a real swing spot coming into the final seven.
Yeah, she's 100% the swing vote coming into this vote. And ironically, I believe it's a similar position to where, she was in Survivor Kageyama, where she was trying to, I mean, remember when Tony was so afraid of this Women's Alliance coming together and Spencer started to put the idea in his head of maybe there's right. a Women's Alliance coming together, and Tasha wanted Tony to think that there was a Women's Alliance. And now here is Tasha again, potentially on the precipice of working with this new Women's Alliance here in this game. And I have to feel like Tasha, if she can get to the final four with Kelly and Abby and Kimmy, I think that this is a woman who won 3 immunity challenges in Survivor Kageyan. And while Kelly has won her first here in this season, I feel like that Tasha has a good chance to sort of win out in the immunities.
Yeah, this would be good for her. And I mean, this was her pregame plan, at least from what she spoke to me about. Her plan was, I want to get with the guys for a while. I want the guys to have, you know, their big alpha male thing. I want to be a part of that. And by the time we get to the merge, I want them all to shoot at each other. I want to duck underneath the bullets, and then I want to win some challenges. So potentially she's right where she wants to be. That's kind of awesome. Can we talk about it from Kimmy's point of view? Kimmy, who was so anti Monica's plan to bring the women together, you know, going against the family, went all Gemma Morrow on her and got her blindsided out of the game in the first buy on blood that was drawn in Cambodia. And now here comes Kimmy, who's talking to Wentworth and saying, let's get the ladies together. Let's do this. Do you like this from Kimmy? Because I think I love this from Kimmy.
Yeah, she was thinking about that Women's Alliance. It was like,
oh, this don't suck at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pumpkin, yeah. I think that this is good.
She thought about it enough and decided that she would decide to go for it. But that being said, for the Women's Alliance, for Kimmy, you didn't feel like she had a great shot with sticking with the Jeremy and Tasha group. You felt like she had the worst chance to win out of that group. So, I mean, what does it hurt for her to go ahead and to try to shake things up a little bit? Because if she can get to the end with, say, Abby and be tough. We talked about this all GOAT final three of the people that were left, probably of Abby, Keith, and Kimmy on the podcast with Tyson. I said I thought that Kimmy would win in that, and I maintain that I think she would. Tyson thought that Keith would win in that scenario, but I think that that's the best shot for Kimmy to get to that final three.
Yeah, it's a coin flip. It would be hard to see. I mean, it'd be great to see that play out. As a nail mail, I would love that final three. What is Keith Nail doing, by the way? Keith Nail is the rogue vote for Tasha Fox tonight. He's the only one voting for Tasha. What was that? What do you have an answer?
He didn't want to vote for Joe.
That's it.
I mean, that's the only explanation for it, that he loved Joe so much.
He didn't want to vote his bro Chacho. Yeah.
Yeah. He almost killed him. He felt bad about that. Yeah. Somebody had tweeted to me about how Keith finally did kill the golden boy, that he said he wanted to do that a couple of weeks ago.
He stuck to the plan.
Yeah, yes. I think he just didn't want to vote out Joe. And I don't know why he votes for Tasha in that scenario, but I guess there's not a lot of better alternatives.
I just got to vote for somebody. So I thought that was great. That was confounding. I loved it.
I want to go back to Tasha in a little bit more. And So Tasha tells Jeremy and Spencer about the Women's Alliance. Did you think that that was a good idea? She said the reason why she did that was she didn't want them to hear it from somebody else, but it ultimately did make Jeremy and Spencer pretty paranoid to the point that they were talking with Joe about potentially voting out Abby Maria. Did you think that that was a good call to tell those guys about the Women's Alliance?
Well, I understand it in principle. I understand, like, I want them to hear it from me rather than them hear rumors about what I may or may not be doing, what I may or may not be fielding. And we've seen that be effective in the past when somebody is flirting with different offers and they tell the other side that at least I'm engaging the other people in their other offer. You know, a really famous and one of the best player examples of that is probably Kim in One World, who is, you know, smack dab in the middle. She could either go with the Alicia Tarzan and Cha-Cha contingent, or she could stick with Chelsea and Sabrina, which she ultimately does. And she and everybody in the game knows that she's riding both sides of the line. So I can see where Tasha is coming from in principle of like, I want to be transparent about that, that like, this is what they're saying. And I'm coming to you with this information. So you have nothing to worry about with me. I'm with you. It takes a very special, effective player to be able to sell that. I would probably err more on the side of, you know, if you were caught, it's like beg forgiveness rather than ask permission, rather than coming right out and saying like, this is a thing that's going to happen, because Tasha is in a really intriguing spot in the game going into Final Seven. If she has that completely on lockdown, she has the element of surprise in that move. If she chooses to go with Wentworth and Abby and Kimmy and chooses to say goodbye to Jeremy and Spencer and Keith, unless Keith is coming aboard potentially. So I think that maybe she's blowing her cover and maybe that's not so great. I understand why she is, but I think that it takes a really special, effective type of player to really balance that delicate social line between two alliances. What do you think about Tasha's move? Should she have stayed quiet on this one?
I think she probably shouldn't have said anything. I don't think it's the end of the world for her to have said something, and I understand why she did it, but I think that you probably are giving people like Jeremy a bit and Spencer a bit of a, you know, heads up as to what moves they could potentially make, as opposed to if she did decide, if she came across some new information in 2 days and decided, boy, I think I would like to go with that women's alliance. You sort of have tipped your hand to which way you want to go when you didn't have to yet.
Right. Yeah. If she really wants to go that way, then she's really tipping her hat now. And it suggests to me that maybe she doesn't want to go that way. It suggests to me that maybe she does want to stick with Spencer and Jeremy on here. And certainly, you know, she's convincing enough to convince Spencer and Jeremy to stick with the plan and get rid of Joe. Let's talk about it from their point of view. Do you think that they made the right call here in getting rid of Joe rather than getting rid of Abby?
For Jeremy and Spencer?
Yeah.
I don't think they had an option.
You don't think so?
I mean, what were they going to do? I mean, they were going to get vote with Joe and Keith.
Right.
And then that was going to be their plan and force a 4-4 tie in that spot.
And you think Tasha was just firmly on, we're getting rid of Joe and there's just no move. They have to do it.
Yes. I believe that Tasha was firmly all about getting rid of Joe, even from watching some of the exit interviews or reading other exit interviews that Spencer and Sierra did. In addition to Steven, I believe that Tasha was also another person that was very adamant about getting Joe out of the game. I think Tasha was voting Joe here no matter what, and it just so happened that the women were also going to be voting for Joe. So I don't think you were going to be able to change Tasha's mind, because if you were going to do that, I think you were going to sort of force Tasha into the women's alliance. So then you'd be forcing some sort of like 4-4 tie at this point, best case scenario. I know Jeremy has his idol, but I'm sure he would hate to play it. I think that their best move here was to go, okay, Tasha, we got to trust you. Let's go ahead. Let's vote out Joe and then hopefully move forward. But Josh, who do you think is the four at this point in terms of Jeremy and Spencer and Tasha? Who is there for? Is it Kimmy or could it be Keith?
Oh, well, I think it would be one of the K's. I think that you could see it going either way. We've seen Jeremy and Kimmy have been linked throughout a large part of this game. They have been, you know, they've been together from the beginning. They've been together through everything, and they have voted together on everything. So I think that Jeremy probably believes that he's got Kimmy, and that if Tasha is fielding some sort of faux women's alliance, that Kimmy is doing the same thing and is stoking fires. I think that that's probably the bet he has to make. I don't know. Do you think that Keith could be the fourth?
Well, where's Keith going? I mean,
he's voting for Tasha every time.
The thing that's interesting though about Keith is that there are two Survivor San Juan del Sur players that are in the game with him that are on opposite alliances. They were both his tribe mates at the original Hunapu tribe in Kelly and Jeremy. Who is going to have more sway over Keith Nail? And I'd have to say, I believe that would be Kelly Wentworth.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, they've spent a lot of time together. They had Takeo 2.0 together. They had Never Forget the Tuk Tuk Cafe, Never Forget the Totos. So I feel like they seem like they could be closely aligned. I mean, Jeremy and Keith had early buy-on together. I don't know. It's a coin flip. I mean, it's hard to predict. And this is why it's great to have someone like Keith in the game, because it's just, you just don't know which way he's going to go. And that's fun at this point in the final seven. I mean, it can be, you know, we talk about someone like Keith and Wu in the pregame. We talked about these people as potential bombs that you have to figure out how to disarm. Now you got to figure out a guy like Keith, which direction you want that bomb to blow.
See, but I feel like that Keith is a pretty loyal guy. I think that he definitely got confused with the stick to the plan, but I feel like that Keith Nail is the kind of guy, if you come up to Keith and you say, okay, Keith, you're with me, we're doing this, this is what we're doing, and then don't throw him off with any sort of fancy stuff like Reed did. If you're Natalie, if you're even earlier in that game where we had Missy and Baylor told him, okay, Keith, you're with us, you're gonna vote with us this way, okay, I guess so. Joe is telling him, Keith, come with me, you're doing this.
Yeah.
I think that if you just like you earn his trust, you tell him what to do, I think he's a pretty loyal soldier. And I think that Kelly taking him on the reward challenge tonight was pretty huge for her.
Yeah, I think that was good, and I think that it's probably in Keith's best interest to go with her.
Yeah, because I think that Jeremy and Keith, their rivalry has been long stated. They have really not been working together outside of the first couple of days of the game.
I mean, they haven't like really butted heads in this game, no. But there's a past, there's a history.
Yeah, but they don't seem like they're BFFs.
No.
They do not.
No, they do not.
So we'll see ultimately where they go. Let's talk about that reward challenge. And so Kelly Wentworth really heating up these last couple of weeks, Kelly Wentworth.
Yeah, she wins the reward. She wins immunity. She still has an idol in the game. Going into Final Seven, Wentworth's in a great spot.
Yeah, she does a lot of cool stuff to the camera, too. She does like a lot of like winks and does like a great like face. And she's very gif-able.
Yeah, well, she is very gif-able with the kick under the bus for Terry Dietz earlier in the season. I think, look, you know, this is a season about second chances. This is a season about repairing your story from the first time. If you're not going to win, at least, you know, like, what can you do to redeem what happened the first time? And for Kelly, I think airtime is probably a big deal because she was not on the show when she played the first time.
Yeah.
So she is heavily on the show this time. So mission accomplished in that regard at the very least. And she's great when she's on the show.
Okay. So she wins that challenge and she gets to take people with her on this reward. Now, she got to bring three people with her. She got to make the picks, and she picked Joe, which I thought was a curious choice.
That was her final pick.
Yeah. She picked Keith.
Yep.
And she picked Kimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Keith pick, I've said I think that was really good. Kimmy is another one, is a swing vote. She's going potentially to vote with the women. So I like that as well. But what did you think about that Joe pick? Because I feel like that's the head scratcher.
She takes Abby's mom as well.
Abby.
Yeah, Abby's mom is in the mix as well. Well, I don't know. I think that one of the things that Wentworth has been effectively doing is like she's one of the people that's, you know, willing to work with Joe. I think that, you know, listen, we haven't really eulogized Joe at all, but like kudos to Joe for, you know, I feel like his social situation was pretty good. And I think that his relationships in the game were not bad. And he went a lot deeper in this game than I expected that he would. And I think that part of Wentworth's success with Joe has been like they've had an openness to working together. You know, when Joe was vulnerable last week, she goes after Fish back instead and has a decent working thing with Joe. And I think that this just furthers that a little bit more. I think that, you know, could you call it jury pandering? Maybe it's a little bit of that.
Josh, could we talk about Joe a little bit? Because I feel like that's a bit of a false narrative that Joe had a bad social game the first time around.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I don't think that his social game was his problem at all. I think that there was a lot of people on America who were big Joey Amazing fans. He seems to, you know, he is the breakout star of the Dirty 30, and everybody on that cast loves him. And I think that they famously said in the game, like, Joe, really sorry, love you to death.
People love Joe.
We cannot play with you. But I think that, you know, that was not a problem. And that is brought up on the show this season a bit with Joe saying, like, that was a weakness the first time. That was not the problem. The problem was that you're too amazing.
Yeah.
Your social game's too good.
I feel like that Joe's problem has never been his social game, and it's certainly not his physical game, but I think that his problem lies in that third area, which is the strategic part of the game. I feel like that Joe can not seem to help himself of, okay, these are the things that are going to make me be a bigger target in this game, and he cannot stop doing those things which are making him a bigger and bigger target in people's eyes. I think that Cass had secret scenes earlier on in the season about, like, Joe keeps catching fish, he keeps doing this, he's building hammocks, he's doing everything. Everybody is talking about how amazing this guy is, and eventually that's going to catch up to him. And sure enough, you know, we have 2 weeks in a row that he can't win the challenge, and now, of course, he's out of the game. And so I feel like that for Joe, the problem lies in what he's doing strategically more so than socially, or certainly not physically.
Yeah, you know, I've been saying on the podcast here, and I hold to it, that I think that at a certain point, Joe just has to go full Joe, because everyone knows what he's all about and everybody knows what he has inside.
You never go
him
full Joe, Josh.
You know, I think, listen, if we could all go full Joe, we'd all be happier. But, you know, I think at a certain point he has to turn it on. But if you were to dial it all the way back to the beginning, where he is making hammocks and it's Shangri-La and Bayon Beach, and he's just, you know, making everyone's lives so comfortable, and he really is being that perfect. You know, it's an early game decision that he makes. But once he chooses to flip the switch, I think you got to go all the way in. And he flipped it very early on.
Got to go no Joe.
He's got to come in and pull the Tyson and break his shoulder on, you know, day three.
Josh, that I have to say that watching that final, those final minutes of that challenge where he ultimately passes out, I wonder if that could have been maybe the best thing that ever happened to Joe, And ultimately, the narrative was sort of like, Joe is so tough, he'll fight until he's almost dead. But if Joe could have really played that up more, to the point where Joe is completely weakened, almost like Dread Pirate Roberts mode, to just like, if he can't even walk, could Joe have potentially saved himself?
Are you saying to blave, which means to bluff? No, I think it was too late. I think it's too late to bluff on that one. To blave. I think it was way too late to blave on that one. I think that was really probably, you know, you got to get rid of Joe here probably anyway. And as you articulated, it seems like, you know, Jeremy and Spencer didn't have much of an option here if Tasha was really fixed. Although maybe there's a workaround there. But I think with Joe at that point, like, yeah, he's lost two immunities now, but he had won those four before. And now, like, if he's allowed to continue past this round, if he's able to restart his immunity streak again, if somehow he's allowed to make it to the end, like, now he can point, like, remember that time I played this game so hard that I passed out? Remember that, Andrew Savage and Kelly Wigglesworth and all you people on the jury who love that kind of thing? So I think that him passing out just, like, was a resume point tonight. You know, assuming he was able to survive it. So at that point, like, if you're going to make that move, if you're going to pass out, if you're going to injure yourself, do that really, really early. At this point, way too late for that.
I think that would have been pretty good if he could have really just flopped and then just acted like, oh, I can't move. Jeff, I can't even play in this immunity challenge today. Like, boy, Joe, you can't even play?
Right.
No, sorry, Jeff.
And so then Joe becomes a goat, or does he become like Super Missy, where he, you know, she breaks her leg with a couple days left in the game, and everyone's like, wow, look at Joe. Just, he's injured and he's still championing through, and it's so cool. Joe is really so amazing.
And he does the Tyson, and then he wins, you know, immunities at like 5 and 4.
You can't do the Tyson on day 32. You know, it's too late. You're way past the point. You can't.
Would have been fun to see him try.
It would have been fun to see him try. But, you know, I really think that, all things considered, I thought that Joe's game this time around, you know, he said it earlier in the season that I think that I'm playing better than I played last time. I agree. I agree too.
I don't think that Joe played really bad last time either. I mean, he was well liked. And he won the challenges. I just think that Joe, I think the strategic part of the game, I think, is where it's still tricky, still a work in progress. And I do say that that's the easiest part of the game to improve.
Yeah. A little more Ozzy than Malcolm, you're saying.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So then let's go ahead and talk about...
Did you like it when he went full Lembo in the episode? him, the Anglums went full Lembo?
Yeah, that was very impressive.
That's good.
No, I mean, Joe had a really nice moment with his dad, and his dad said, hey, you know, you're my best friend, and really nice stuff.
Yeah, no, it was great. And, you know, he'd been talking about that, you know, he has kind of a legendary Ponderosa video in Worlds Apart, where he's very sad, he's crying when he's coming out of the game, he's talking about all he wanted was this family visit. At least he got that, you know, and that was part of his, you know, his introductory package this season. You know, part of the opening 7 minutes of Cambodia was him talking about, like, I didn't get to make the family visit last time. So he got it. He did it. So that's good. That's great.
Okay. Anything else from this before we get into some of these questions?
Anything else from this? Well, so you think that there was no move for Jeremy and Spencer, because if they could have gotten Keith, even if they could have gotten Joe, it would still be four, and Tasha was unmovable.
See, let me just correct that. I think that there was moves for Spencer, but Spencer chose to make his bed with Tasha and with Jeremy, whereas I felt like that Spencer probably could have played with the Wentworth side for another vote or two.
Right, but isn't that just surviving a couple more days? Is there any sort of long-term plan if he goes along with that at this point?
Well, I mean, for him to go ahead and make a final three when he is in the business end of a 5-3 split, I think was not necessarily where my mind would have gone.
Yeah, too early for that. But if Tasha is really rigidly, we're voting out Joe, and if Tasha has floated out to Jeremy and Spencer, there's this women's alliance that's being discussed, and I'm, you know, I've got ears on it, I'm part of those conversations, don't worry, you've got nothing to worry about. Is there anything to, instead of targeting Abby here, do you recruit Abby? Do you turn it against Tasha?
How would you do that?
You have the four men.
You want to vote out Tasha because she's the swing vote?
Yeah. Is there anything to that if you're Jeremy and Spencer and you keep those numbers on your side? Yeah, Tasha seems like she's loyal, but she's also suggesting that she's possibly part of this other coalition, or at least that this other coalition is in the works. Abby, who is, if you're threatening that somebody is coming after Abby, could you woo Abby over, and could the four guys and Abby do something here?
Don't say woo and Abby in the same sentence.
I know. It's probably bad. I'm probably dead to her now. But is there anything to that? Do you think that there's a move there?
I don't think so, because it seems like that Abby is moving solidly with Kelly at this point. Unless you were going to get Kelly in on that plan, I don't think that that would necessarily be the case. I think if you're Spencer, I think you could have moved forward with the five, and then gotten it point down to the point where if you go ahead and you vote off Jeremy, vote off Tasha, vote off Kimmy, then I think Spencer is in a very interesting fulcrum vote position there at the final five, where he could either go with Kelly and Abby, or he could go with Joe and Keith. And we know that Spencer was pretty afraid of Joe. So you get the sense that he would be able to, or he would be interested in going with Kelly and Abby. And then you also have the possibility, maybe at the final four, if Spencer thinks that Kelly's too much of a threat, to take her out, assuming she doesn't win immunity at four. And then he could go to the finals with Keith and Abby Maria in a sort of a dream setup.
Yeah.
I think that's where I would have been thinking if I was Spencer, as opposed to going back into the minority to go with Jeremy and Tasha.
Did you like Spencer confessing his love tonight? Was that, did you like that? Did that touch you?
It was a nice moment. I mean, it was sweet. I mean, they're, you know, two young people who seem very, very fond of each other. You know, Spencer had the Chekhov's story of not saying I love you to his girlfriend, right, when Jeremy famously told him,
Oh snap.
Yeah, the robot's in love. The Tin Man found his heart. It was very sweet.
Yeah, that was nice. Great.
I really like that. I thought that was a great moment. I'm glad that that got paid off. And how about the Jeremy and Val thing? That was incredible.
That was cool.
That was really great. That was awesome.
You know, and I'm surprised that, you know, Jeff didn't like blow it up and be like, so Jeremy, I heard you were just saying something to Val. What was it? What were you guys talking about?
At that point, I wonder if like it would have been better. Like, oh, she's got some idols for me, rather than saying like, I've got this great life changing news. But no, that was an iconic family visit moment. I feel like already, like to find that information out there while playing Survivor, that's just spectacular. Yeah. That's really cool.
I mean, Val's got to be pretty close here. I hope, I mean, we're 2 weeks away from the finale. I hope that, right. I mean, I mean, I think that Val could be in the like Tony's wife probably stages where she can't fly at this point. So right. I guess she's not making it out here either way.
Or we would have to have like if she has the baby and Jeremy can't make it out to the reunion or anything, he'd have to Skype in like Brenda.
Oh my God.
Right?
Oh my God.
We'll get him on Skype.
Could you imagine he wins and he wasn't there? It'd be so crazy.
That'd be strange as hell. Yeah. That'd be crazy.
Could he get like the George Sr. sort of like Super Dave Osborne setup?
Oh my God. Super Jeremy.
Like,
I'm so honored to have won Survivor Second Chance.
Oh, snap.
That'd be great. Yeah, I would love Super Jeremy. That'd be really good.
I like it. All right, Josh, you want to talk questions?
Yeah, let's get into questions.
Okay, let's take these questions from you guys. Here we go. Who's up first?
All right, this is, once again, Carrie Gravewine, always getting the first question. Carrie Gravewine says, will Keith align with Wentworth, Abby, and Kimmy, or Jeremy, Spencer, and Tasha? Let me say that slower. Carrie Gravewine says, will Keith align with Wentworth, Abby, and Kimmy, or Jeremy, Spencer, and Tasha? Where's Keith going here? What do you think? You think it's Wentworth?
I mean, of those people mentioned, there's almost no connection between Keith and Kimmy, Abby, Tasha, or Spencer. It really comes down to Survivor San Juan del Sur. Who is able to be more magnetized to the nail?
Right. Yeah. And if Keith went with that, and if that, imagine that's the final four. It's Keith, Wentworth, Abby, and Kimmy. That's like a very familiar situation to him. I feel like that has echoes of San Juan del Sur's final.
Feels
four.
Like deja vu all over again.
Yeah. 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 Doesn't it though? Like, you've got Wentworth with the badass idol plays, who's kind of leading the strategic charge. Yeah, you've got, you know, like the older mom type with Kimmy and Missy. You've got Abby and
Jacqueline.
It's not perfect. It's not a one for one. But Abby once upon a time had a knee injury, so maybe she's the Missy. I don't know about that. Familiar surroundings, though.
I don't know about that. But anyway, but for Keith Nail, I think that he is more likely to go with Kelly than Jeremy, I think.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it seems probable, and I like his odds there. I like his chances there.
Okay.
This is from Chris Frick. Are you surprised that three San Juan del Sur players are still around, along with Val, her two idols, and Dale?
Where was Wes Nail?
Where was Wes? He had a competition. He had the nugget eating competition this time of year, so he couldn't come back. He was busy.
What a night for Survivor San Juan del Sur in general, too.
Ah, great season. Great season. Listen, this season, San Juan del Sur is good. You got to go back. Go check
it
out.
We might need to do a San Juan del Sur rewatch in the off season.
We're watching Survivor again. We're watching old seasons again, Rob.
Yes.
No, now you're gone off the rails.
All right, fine. We might just need to link to our evolution strategy on Survivor San Juan del Sur.
Yeah, we could discount that because I feel like people need to rediscover that season. I think that this season is really validating San Juan del Sur.
We were ahead of the curve on that.
We really were.
Okay, but in terms of what was the question?
Are we surprised? Are we surprised that San Juan del Sur is doing so well, that they're still so well represented here? Not a single San Juan del Surian has gone home.
Well, to me, that's the crazy thing where it was like, oh, Cagayan, gotta watch out for the four of them, gotta break them up, gotta split them up, can't let them work together. Not one person has ever said, well, there's three people here from Survivor San Juan del Sur.
Right. Well, those three, they had this pregame pact and they're sticking to it. They're sticking to the plan. Right? They had this like secret covert San Juan del Sur pact.
No, there was no secret pact.
No, there was no secret pact. Unless there was. Unless there was.
I don't think there was.
I don't think there was. But maybe that's it, though. It's just like you look at those three. I mean, they were never tight. They were never like famously fighting or anything like that. You know, there was friction between Keith and Jeremy, but it wasn't epic in the way that Cass versus Tasha versus Spencer was. So it just got overlooked somehow. And these three, they're doing what they got to do. All of them are still in the mix here, and it's great.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Pat Tad, who says, does Dr. Joe ever send anyone out of the game? Wasn't he the one who kept Muffin in?
Was that Dr. Joe? Did Dr. Joe, who's Muffin? Did Dr. Joe keep Muffin in the mix here?
Well,
I feel like that was Dr. Ben, wasn't it? Wasn't that a Dr. Ben move?
We need to confirm the doctors on that one.
Yeah, we'll get somebody on the Survivor Wiki checking out the doctors page.
And somebody text Andrew Savage and ask him that.
He knows that off the top of his head. He knows the wiki real well.
Yes, he updates
Yeah, he updates it regularly. This is from James Galgan. Would it have been a better play for Jeremy to use his first idol on Joe instead of Steven?
No, Pumpkin, no.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah. I guess if you were absolutely certain women's alliance is a thing, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think that in a perfect world, I think that had there not been the news of the women's alliance, I think Jeremy would be perfectly fine with voting out Joe. I think that that's sort of like the specter in the back of his mind of, are we walking into an ambush here where now the women have a 4-3 advantage? Will they pick off Spencer, Keith, Jeremy, 1-2-3 next after this?
What are the odds that Jeremy has to play his idol next, or feels that he has to play his idol in the next round if he doesn't win immunity?
Well, Tyson had said on the podcast, he said, if you have the idol, you always want to play it at 7. He feels like that's a good spot to play the idol if you have one.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know if you just do it in a vacuum, but he said that's the best time to play an idol because that's when the biggest swings in the game happen.
Right. And Tyson just did that as insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, he just did just in case it was going his way. So you could easily see Jeremy doing that next week. And it's almost harder to imagine why he wouldn't do it. But a lot can change. A lot changes in these episodes. So it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Hard to tell if that's going to happen.
Okay.
Voice of Silence says, when can we officially rename Cambodia into Goat Island 2.0? Three players and four goats left. Will we see an all goats alliance? Do you think that that's a fair breakdown?
No. Who are the four goats?
I think that the three obvious front runners. Who are the three obvious front runners? I think that Jeremy is in the mix. Wentworth is in the mix. You want to say Spencer?
I don't know how we're not including Tasha as a front runner. I would feel like if I'm doing power rankings right now, I might say that Tasha could be number one.
Yeah, I think that she's in a great spot depending on how she handles this. So no, I think that those four are,
unless we're polling Cass, I don't see this anywhere. Right. Tasha is a goat right now.
Yeah, I think she's absolutely in the mix right now, and I think that this was a great episode for her. Other than should she have told those people what was going on? I don't know that she should have done that. But either way, she's got decisions that she can make right now. So I think Tasha's in a cool spot. Is Kimmy a goat? Is Abby a goat? Is Keith a goat? Do you want to give them all goat status, or you know? Is there any wiggle room for a Keith in there?
Abby Maria is the only goat right now.
I think so.
Kimmy, she, look, if Kimmy's women's alliance comes to fruition and she could sort of say that she's the architect of this women's alliance, I think that there is a path to victory here for her. I think it's probably a very narrow path, which could close as soon as next week, based on if it does not stay, if it's hollow. In terms of Keith Nail, I think that's he's probably goat number two. But the thing about Keith, he's well liked, and if he could have gotten to the final three in his original season, he certainly could have won with all those familiar, friendly faces on the jury. I think his work is cut out for him. I think it probably would be safe to say that Keith's a goat as well.
Interesting.
Do you see a path to victory for Keith?
Beast mode Keith. He's got to go full nail mail.
Okay.
Gotta do what he was put on earth to do.
All right, so I think there is a better than a 0.000 chance for Keith Nail, but I don't think it's a good one.
The chance of that happening, a 0.0000% chance.
Wow. A little Rodney action here.
Yeah.
Debbie Downer.
Okay.
Unbelievable. This is from Paul Borges. I think the reason for the Tasha vote was to protect Abby. If Joe played an idol, Tasha would go out on the revote. Right, Spencer? This is a tweet towards Spencer.
Hmm.
Do you think that there's anything to that?
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Penner's got it. I think Penner locked that up. Because, I mean, like, if that's the plan, and you want to stick to it, you want to leave that in the hands of Keith Nail? You want Keith to be the guy who's casting that backup vote? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about that. I think that your explanation on Keith makes sense, unless it was just like Keith got confused. I still think that that's in the mix.
Yeah.
Tim says, what's the better Abby nickname, Moldy Clown or Poopy Pants?
Why is Joe a Moldy Clown? I feel like that's not really going to stick.
I don't think that that's going to stick. I think that Joey Amazing is going to stick. I don't think that anyone is really thinking of him as Moldy Clown. I think that most of America, and certainly all of America, is thinking him more as Joey Amazing.
Yeah, why is he moldy?
I don't know. Well, maybe he had some mold going on, but that doesn't really translate to television.
Now, Josh, I thought you were on Mold Patrol.
I'm usually on Mold Patrol, but it's hard. It's hard with television. That's just in real life. Mold Patrol is my TV specialty.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Leah, who says, four original TKOs make the merge. Three are left in the final seven. Does this help prove the trial by fire third? Is this intentional Matt Singh?
Intentional Matt Singh? Is that what they did? Yeah, it was Wentworth, Spencer, and Abby's long con. It's really good. These guys are so clever. Yeah, they really did it. They pulled it off. What do you think?
The going to tribal council early? No, I don't think so. I don't think there's a rhyme or reason to this. I think there was a bunch of times where Spencer could have gone out. I think there was a couple times where Abby Maria could have gone out. I don't think that anything speaks to that they went to the first couple tribal councils that really got the ball rolling.
Yeah, there's just so many mixes along the way. So many mixes and matches that it's just a very confused game right now. Okay, I don't think so either.
Do a couple more questions.
Okay, what do you got?
Jamie A says, is Spencer right that this vote either wins him or loses him the game? Which is it for the Knowing is Know-It-All title?
Oh, no. I bow out, obviously. That's still between you and Steven. I know my role.
Look, for Spencer here, it could only lose him the game. I don't think you win the game with this vote at Final Eight.
Yeah. Not a game winning move. He's still in that stretch of if I'm going the wrong way. But it, based on your logic, Spencer, well, you think that Spencer did half moves here.
I think he could have. But I think at that point he was already pot committed to going with at that point where he's already going back to Jeremy and Tasha. I think that was the point where he could, like, by the time they go to tribal council, what else was he going to do? If we'll go for a 4-4 tie and get him and Jeremy to vote with Keith and Joe?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, this seems to be one of Spencer's great strengths in this game. You know, massive credit to the fact that that Steven thought that Spencer was locked, that he thought that Spencer was totally, totally set and was not somebody that he had to worry about at all. Spencer has this ability, apparently, to really reassure people that he's with them. So couldn't he have just... Like, is it that big of a deal that he made this pact with Tasha and Jeremy? Or could he have flipped on that just to keep himself more secure with these people?
I just don't know why he went back with them now. I kind of feel like that once you vote out Steven, I don't know why you don't continue down that path of then vote out Jeremy, then vote out Tasha, vote out Kimmy, and get it down to a smaller, more manageable group. And now I feel like that he's potentially going to be behind the eight ball if this women's alliance does come together. I mean, who do you think is most likely to get voted out next week?
In that spot, if they are coming together and they're coming after either Spencer or Jeremy, I don't know. Take your pick. I think that Spencer has proven to be better in the challenges. So that's an argument against Spencer. But I think that he's also been, you know, he's proven to be more willing to work with someone like Wentworth and Abby. So there's reasons to go after either one of them.
Does it make any sense for Tasha to continue forward with Jeremy and Spencer?
It's, you know, loyalty, if that's what you value. But I think in terms of the game, I think that we reasoned out what her probably one of her best situations is probably straying away from those guys.
I mean, I would think so. I think that if she can go ahead and make the move to go with the women, I think that that's really a really strong direction for her to go in, especially between if she gets to the end with Spencer. I feel like that she needs to break away from Spencer. With Jeremy, I feel like people are going to look at Jeremy as being more of the leader of that surrounding drown group that was from the start of the game. So I feel like that the best path for her is to end up going on the other direction.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that there's a lot of reasons for Tasha to move with the ladies next week. But we'll see. It's really, I'm really excited for the final seven. We love those final seven spots. And I think that this could be a really great one.
Okay. So let's do two more questions. Okay. Here's Riot Maker.
Riot Maker says, who from this season so far do you guys think would get a third time invite?
I think almost any of them that want it, I think with a very few exceptions, I think probably could get a call.
I think there's a few exceptions. I think there's a few. We don't need it. There's probably a few. Okay. This is from Jamie A. Going into Final Seven, which idol holder is better positioned to potentially blindside the other, Jeremy or Wentworth? Will either one do it? This is great. I mean, I love that we're going into the Final Seven with this line in the sand and who knows who's going to go where. And on these, you know, the two sides that we do know that are opposite from each other are Jeremy and Wentworth, and both have both have guns in the bag. So it's who knows? Who
Isn't
knows?
Isn't it also crazy that it's these two with idols headed down to the final seven, and both of them have played one idol before this season? So
yeah.
It's like both of them, like they both have like pocket aces, and they've already like, you know, it's really a cool sort of setup where neither one probably suspects. And it's like the only season where nobody ever tells anybody that they have an idol. And it's these two people who both have the idols, and neither one has said anything either time, and nobody knows that they both have one more idol left to play.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, I know it would be exciting if everybody knew about them. It would be exciting if, you know, it hasn't really come to bear, but one of the ideas was that the idols are designed to look different from one another. That hasn't really come to bear any fruit here, and I don't know that it's ever going to. But I still think that this is exciting, that these two people who've played them before, no one really knew what the idol situation in the game was at that point anyway. No one is really looking at Jeremy or Kelly as people who have idols now. It's cool. It's a really cool setup, and you gotta expect that something's gonna happen in this next one, because there's so many reasons for that to happen, but I don't know who is more likely. I would say probably Jeremy, just because Jeremy has a lot of reasons to play that idol next mm-hmm. week. It's really hard to imagine, unless he's winning immunity, why he wouldn't play it.
Next week is a really fascinating vote, just for like, if the Women's Alliance takes, Tasha is kind of the swing vote in that Women's Alliance. So which of the men would she go for? I guess maybe yeah. Keith Nail might be the person that she'd be most likely to agree to vote for, rather than take out Jeremy in a swing, who is one of her closest allies. You'd ideally want to keep him in the game so you could potentially go back with him. If the Tasha, Jeremy, Spencer and Kimmy group sticks together, I mean, who's their target on that side? Is it Abby Maria, because they feel like that she's somebody who, if she goes to the end, she's such a goat? But I mean, I kind of feel like that I'd like to have a jury goat around.
Yeah, I think so. I think that in that case, you probably are going after Wentworth, and that could be dangerous. That could have some unexpected side effects.
Yeah. And then if you go for Kelly in that spot, who are they gunning for if she plays her idol again next week? So next week could be a very fun Final Seven Tribal Council.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see that play out.
Because then the following week is the finale.
I know. Yeah.
We're almost done.
There's a lot of speculation that I guess the finale must be Final Six.
Well, either that or this upcoming episode is going to be a double tribal council. But I would can't imagine we'd do a double tribal council at a 7 and a 6.
Yeah. You and I were talking about this a little bit off the air before we came on here. Did you feel like did they mess up the double boot? Should this have been double boot week? Should we have attached the Joe episode to the Steven episode?
So the first hour would have been Steven with the advantage, and then Joe going out then. I think that it almost would have been like, oh, it was a triumph for Joe. Joe did it. It's all like almost like, and then he would get voted out in the second hour. It would almost be like, if you were Survivor, what would you rather have that happen to? Basically like the Steven thing, where Steven saved in the first hour, hooray, and then voted out in the second hour. Whereas it would have been this week, Joe is saved in the first hour, hooray. Or is he like, hurrah. And then, oh, Joe's voted out by the end of the night. So I think for the Joe fans, I think then probably they had like one more week of euphoria before he ultimately goes out.
And we're keeping with the high low of Fishback. You know, he's saved and then he's dropped to the ground. So, you know, but just in terms of unpacking these episodes, those two last week were so complicated. And this one was, you know, this one's been complicated as well. But I feel like there was just so much last week.
Yeah, that it would have been tonight.
Would have been nice on my brain without, you know, Thanksgiving on the horizon. So that would have been good. That would have been great.
Yeah. All right. So a lot to figure out. It'll certainly be a question of, will we have two votes this week, or could we have three tribal councils leading up to the final three? I think you could fit it all into the finale, because instead of we have in the past where it's like, oh, somebody's going to get an advantage, where, you know, Mike Holloway is going to win an advantage and get that a family visit, and you know,
we'd have to cut that out. That has to go.
Yeah, we could lose all that stuff, and we could just go tribal council, tribal council, tribal council, final tribal council.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, we cut out the opening statements. Maybe we'll cut out the jury questions too.
Straight to the vote.
Just go there and vote.
Yeah, the winner.
You've been together 39 days. No surprises here.
Yeah, we know. We're all friends here, right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
No need to Sue Hawk anybody.
Hey, why don't we just get rid of the people voting? Let America vote.
Oh, no. We already did that. It's worked out so far this season. I don't know that we want to push it.
We'll just default to whoever got the most votes in the initial ballot for the season. They win in the final three.
Is that the tie break?
Yeah. No, that's not the tie break. That's just the vote.
That's just it. That's it. Yeah. Whoever got to the end and you got the most votes in the beginning, you are the winner
13
now.
13-person jury was just a red herring.
No, worst season ever. Okay. That would be it.
All right, so Josh, what's the hashtag for this episode? I feel like we had a lot of good stuff.
We had a lot of good stuff. I wrote down four, and they're all similar, incidentally. I had full Lembo, I had Super Missy, I had full Tyson, I had Super Jeremy.
And what about Mold Patrol?
Oh, Mold Patrol is good, too. That's the tiebreaker. That's great. Mold Patrol.
Okay.
That's good.
All right, so very excited.
I'll get on that for the Ponderosa video.
Okay. Exit interviews coming up tomorrow. Josh and I will both speak with Joe. Make sure you don't miss Josh's exit interviews, all the great stuff he's doing for parade.com and everywhere else. Follow at Round Howard. He is like Ron Howard, but rounder, right?
But moldier.
Howard.
Mold Howard. That's my new Twitter handle coming soon.
Then, of course, we've got the podcast coming up. Malk. And then Ali Lasher on the voicemails. Get your voicemail questions into us. Go to robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. I think we're actually going to break that up into two parts. Not sure if people like that more or less, but basically those two interviews are going to record pretty close back to back. So we're going to get the Malcolm part up on Thursday night, and then we'll have the voicemails come out on Friday morning. So that's going to be one of those two-part recaps coming up on Thursday. And then, Josh, next week, last regular know-it-alls of the season.
I know. My last know-it-alls of the season. Exciting for so many of you. Sad for me.
Yes.
This is great. It'll be good. Well, good show.
Yeah, Josh is going to be at the finale live in 2 weeks from tonight. I will be here with another we're going deep down the bench of co-hosts for Survivor Know-It-Alls for the finale, but I hope
you're already at D list, so now you have to go down to E or F.
Double A list,
there you go.
All right, so we'll have some more news on that as we move forward, and of course we do appreciate everybody using those links for Amazon.com this time of year. So thank you guys so much. So looking forward to the comments on robiswebsite.com. Josh, anything else?
No, that's it, man. Great episode, great talk. I'll get on Mold Patrol when we sign off here.
All right, take care. Have a good night, everybody. Take care. Bye. Survivor, know it.